Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
All right, tonight, are you ready? All right, one verse of scripture, and then we're going to roll. John 20. The rest of this month, we are guided by the spirit of Easter, the spirit of the cross. And that is why City of David was on point when they said that we shall recover everything the devil stole. Because all that Jesus came to die for is for recovery. Somebody say recovery. Jesus came and died so we can recover everything that the devil stole. So, John 20. Well, I'm supposed to do a long reading, but I won't. I'm just going to do one verse. The rest I'm going to explain as we roll. John 20, 15. Everybody now read it together. John 20, 15. John 20, 15. Please, whoever is in charge of that, please, do well to respond quickly. I beg you in God's name, please. John 20, 15. Let's read together to go. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Just one question that is the topic for my message. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? But I'm taking the second leg of the question. The second leg of the question says, Whom seekest thou? Can you put it in the NLT, New Living Translation? Just that question alone. I'm not interested in the whole verse. In the New Living Translation. Woman, who are you looking for? So the title of my meditation tonight is, Who are you looking for? Can you help me ask three people around you? Who exactly are you looking for? Who exactly are you looking for? Hallelujah. Is that okay? I said, is that okay? Bless your word, our Father, tonight. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Have your way in this meeting tonight. Jesus be glorified. Holy Ghost, I pray that you will impregnate every one of us tonight with a deep sense of your presence. And with a renewed and a rekindled passion for your glory. I pray that tonight you will drive us back to the cross. And you will bring us into the place of absolute surrender. We pray that you will bring us into a place of consecration, commitment, and consistency. Change our lives tonight. And once again, let us walk in the victory of the cross. You have already activated the spirit of restoration, of recovery. Let that spirit now break forth in this assembly. That as your word goes forth, even before we pray, let men begin to recover back destinies. Recover back everything that the devil stole from them. Have your way tonight, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I cannot hear your amen. Amen. Sit down like the king you are. Are you ready? All right. Who are you? Can you just ask someone for the last time? Who are you looking for? All right. I will tell the story of the reading as we go on. But the first thing I want to speak about, just five major points I want to speak about very briefly in this 45 minutes or so of preaching. The first thing I want to say is that the acid test of love is revealed when you are down, not when you are up. The acid test of that love your friend says they have for you is not when everything is okay. The acid test of the love is revealed when you are down. Ladies and gentlemen, the story of John chapter 20, Jesus was down. Everybody say down. Come on, talk to me. Say down. Jesus had been buried. He was down. It was the third day. And the scripture recorded that on this third day, Mary, some other renditions, Luke, Matthew, and the rest of them, actually talked about several women who came together, who prepared spices. They didn't buy, they prepared it themselves. They made it concentrated, and they actually went to anoint his body. But John's translation only spoke about Mary Magdalene, not everybody. Only Mary Magdalene was accounted for. Several reasons could account for that. Number one, it could be that the others came and left. That is a possibility. But on the other hand, it's also possible maybe all of them came and the others couldn't stand the sight and they left. But whatever it was, the report of John was only of Mary Magdalene. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus had died. And guess what? He was down. And at the time when you are down in life, that's when your true friends are sifted. Is anybody hearing me? Please talk to me. Is anybody hearing me? For the last time, is anybody hearing me? Why did Mary go to get spices to come and anoint the body of Jesus? Please notice. Joseph of Arimathea was the one that actually conducted the funeral. Because he was the one that begged, is it Herod now? Or Pilate? Which of them did he beg now? Pilate. Is it Pilate? Collected the body. He used his influence as one of the big boys in town. Collected the body. Embalmed the body. Now, none of them trusted Joseph of Arimathea for one purpose. The Bible says he was a disciple who comes at night. He's not a regular face in church. So nobody was sure how much embalmment was done. And because they don't know him too much in fellowship, there was no certainty as to the effectiveness of what he had done. Notice, Mary Magdalene did not come there to come and see a risen Jesus. She didn't believe that he was going to rise. Nobody believed that. Not even Peter believed that. She actually came with spices so she can make sure that this body does not smell. Is anybody hearing me? It was 3 days after Joseph of Arimathea's anointing or spicing or embalmment. Nobody was sure how effective it was going to be. So she had returned back not to see a savior who is going to get back from the dead and now give her a husband. Don't forget the history of Mary, this young lady. She's former bad girl, 7 demons cast out of her. She literally lived her entire life in sin. So she was not coming to look for Jesus so that Jesus can resurrect and do some miracle. No, she was just there to make sure that in death and in life, I want to make sure he's fine. Is anybody hearing me? Answer me, is anybody hearing me? That's how she came down here. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is replete with the fact that it is only when you are down, when everything is happening with you don't know who are your true friends. The Bible actually said to us this in Proverbs 19 verse 6, if you give me the Message translation. Proverbs 19 6, it says, lots of people flock around a generous person. Everyone is a friend to the philanthropist. Proverbs 19 6. I really want somebody with smarts to help me out there. Message translation, not King James translation. I've said that before. Lots of people flock around a generous person and everyone is a friend to the philanthropist. When you are what? Is it there? Can somebody help me go up there, please? Whoever is there is frustrating me tonight, please. I beg you, please. Can somebody who can do that work go up there, please? I beg you, please. Amara, you don't understand what I was talking about, right? Huh? Do you understand now? Praise God. When you are what? Remember my point. It is when you are down, you know those who truly love you. Am I correct, someone? I said the acid test of love is not when everything is fine. It's when you are down. He said when you are down on your back, please read with me. Even your family will do what? Can you talk to me, somebody? Will avoid you. Yes. Even your best friends, they will wish you don't get close to them. You get lost. Is it there? If they see you coming, what happens? Listen, that's why you must be rich. Oh. That's why you must be successful. I said you must be rich. I said you must be successful. You must make it in the name of Jesus. The Bible says when you are down, close friends and family will avoid you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why when you see the Bible and how David woke up one morning and suddenly said, is there any left of the house of Saul so I can show him kindness? Jonathan was down. Jonathan died with his father. And here was David many years after saying, even though my friend with whom I entered covenant is dead, I must share that love and covenant we shared before. I must transfer it to the family members who are still alive. Listen, if you truly love any friend and you lose that friend, sign that you truly love that friend is that you transfer the love to family members. Please talk to me, somebody, especially the wife and the children. How we truly know you love that friend. That's why I say it's the acid test of true love is when your friend is down, not when you are up, when you are down. Are you still there, somebody? The Bible said David blessed Mephibosheth. He doesn't have any business with Mephibosheth, but just because of that love he had for his friend. Are you still there, somebody? Four men had a close friend. They are taking him around all the hospitals. The Bible says he had stroke, what the Bible called palsy. They've tried every doctor. Everybody say, this is stage 4 or stage 3 stroke. There's nothing we can do about it. And they have all tried their best. And suddenly, they heard that Jesus was around. The Bible said to us, they went there for the press. They couldn't get close. But they said to themselves, where there is a will, there is a what? There is a way. And the Bible said they broke the roof, removed the ceiling, and dropped the friend. That's how you know true friends. True friends are people who stick with you when everything around you is down. Can I hear an amen? The Bible spoke about a friend at midnight in Luke chapter 11. The Bible said this guy had a friend that visited him at midnight. And there was no food to set before him. And he needed 3 loaves. The Bible said this guy left his house, went to meet another friend who said to him clearly, I have gone to bed. My children are asleep. You don't want to know how many songs I sang and how many stories I told before they slept. Nothing will make me wake them up. If I open this door now, they are going to jump up and won't sleep, and they won't sleep. And the guy, the Bible says, even though he refused to open the door and give bread for the sake of his friendship, the Bible says, for the fact that this guy insisted, was he begging bread for himself? No. He was begging bread. He was taking Panadol for someone else's headache. I pray that may God give you true friendship in your life in the name of Jesus. I said, may God give you true friendship in your life in the name of Jesus. May God give you friends who will be awake, who will be restless, who will not sleep or rest until your need is met in the name of Jesus. Can I hear a better amen? Amen. The second point I want to make tonight, ladies and gentlemen, fear is proof you are in love. You are not in love, but you are in bondage. Fear is proof that you are not in love, but you are in bondage. First John chapter 4, verse 18 is a scripture that says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. I like the way it's put in the TPT. Please give me the TPT if you don't mind. First John chapter 4 and verse 18 in the TPT. Please, everybody, listen to this. Love never brings fear. For fear is always related to what? I can't hear you. Always related to what? Punishment. Love that is perfect drives the fear of punishment far from our reach. It says, whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love's perfection. Let me tell you what this scripture is saying. If you are dating a guy and every time you are scared of the guy, you are afraid that if anything happens, he will punish you. He will do something to you. Please know, you are not in love. You are in bondage. If you are afraid of her, you are scared of him, because for every time you came home late or didn't pick his call after he called you twice, or anytime something happens, the guy is threatening to deal with you. There's always a threat. There's always a threat. Sister, you are not in love. You are about to die before your time. I don't, if I can put it in a worse language, I will put it for you. You are about to enter a prison you will regret till you die. I know you think you are in love because he says he loves you. But if the guy
in so much as you fear being beaten. You fear being, you are afraid that if anything happens, it will now say, I'm not doing it again. This relationship is over. But as, and can I, let me put it the other way. If every time you think about the guy and about the relationship, fear comes to your heart, that's also another sign you're about to die inside that relationship. Is anybody hearing me? If you think fear every time you think about him, or every time you think about the future you want to share with him together, please notice that's a clear sign God is not in a relationship. You better listen to this one, though. Because there are some marriages that people who enter into those marriages, they just entered into what will lead them to death. If they did not marry, they would have been alive. That marriage is what will kill them. Is anybody hearing me? If any time, even when both of you have dated for 1 year and you are talking marriage and you are talking our wedding, you are planning. But every time you think about that wedding, fear, instead of peace, please, sir, run back. Go meet your pastor or whoever can counsel you and report yourself so they can find out what that means, because the chances are 90% that fear that is mixed up with love is a sign that God is not in a relationship. Can you talk to me, somebody? Let me take it the other way. If you are a parent, a boss, or somebody in a position of authority, and people fear you instead of loving you, you don't have authority. Is anybody hearing me? If the only reason why they're obeying you is the fear of punishment, followership must be willing to be real followership. Not fear, not powered by fear. For followership to be real fellowship, people should be happy to follow, happy to serve you, and happy to work with you. Once it is powered by the fear of punishment, you don't have any leadership. You are simply a man in position who uses terror to rule. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you are a parent, it's even worse. If you are that parent that the children are always afraid, if we don't sweep the floor, they will cane us. If we don't do this one, they will cane us. If we don't do the other one, they will cane us. Let me say this to you. Your children will endure you until they are 18. They will manage you until they get into a boarding house. They will manage you until they get to university. And the day they finally gain independence, you will be with them in the same Enugu, they will not attend your birthday. I've seen those things happen. If you grow up your children in fear instead of in love. And why is fear? Because everything they do, punishment. The only relationship you have with them is when they comply. Apart from their compliance, there's always the threat of punishment. Listen to this. Those children will endure you until they are 18, until they are 20, until they finally get into university. And once they have the slightest escape route from you, you have lost them. Is anybody hearing me? Let me even take it the other further. People who serve God because of the fear of hell never really stay with God. In a few weeks, they will backslide. But people who serve God because they love God, they stay with God all the way through. Are you still there, somebody? Relationship that is powered by the fear of punishment can never be sustained. That's why when we're in secondary school, they showed us one movie called The Born in Hell. Who watched that movie in school? The whole campus repented for 48 hours. Born in Hell. All of us were rolling on the floor. People were saying, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. Everybody gave their life to Christ. 48 hours later, they say, what was that again? Even this Nigeria that we are in, is it not hell already? Is the hell inside that place? Is it worse than this one in Nigeria? We may leave this thing again. Praise God. Are you still there, somebody? Perfect fear casts out. Perfect love, rather, casts out fear. Are you still there? And Pastor, why is this point important? If you read verse 1, the Bible said, Mary Magdalene entered into that sepulcher when it was yet dark. Everybody say dark. Say cemetery. Say dark. Say cemetery. Say dark. You didn't enter the cemetery. Now only drive with the drive pass. At 10 o'clock. You spoke in tongues from the beginning to the end of that journey. True of us. Mary Magdalene was not driving past. Woman, she entered the cemetery. When she entered, she went straight to the particular grave of Jesus. She peeped, did not see him. Fear not catch him. Mary Magdalene ran straight to go and wake up Pastor, Pastor Peter. Pastor, Pastor! You are still sleeping. They have taken away our Lord. And I don't know where they have carried the corpse to. Listen to this. How many of you remember my story? One for you, one for me. Anybody remembers one for you? Only City of David knows one for you, one for me. Somebody say one for you. Say one for me. Say one for me. Say one for you. Oh, you okay, let me share. Should I share the story with you? There are many people that have never heard the story. Two stubborn boys in primary school in one village. They always go to school and pass this mango tree inside the cemetery. So on this particular day, they were very hungry. Nobody, parents did not give them money. The mango was ripe. But nobody plucks that mango because it's inside cemetery. If you pluck it, your parents will kill you. So on this day, they now said, you know what? Now something they keep pressing. We'll go pluck this mango today. And because the mango was so ripe, they didn't need to climb. All they did was shake the tree. As they are shaking, the mango is falling. As they are shaking, the mango is falling. As they are shaking, the mango is falling. Problem after shaking the entire mango was, how are they going to carry it? How will they convince their parents it's not from the cemetery? What will their parents, or will they answer their parents with their parents ask them? So two of them agreed that, you know what? Let's leave it and come back at night and arrange it at night. Two of them agreed. At night, the two boys came back. And another problem is dark. And because it's dark, two of them don't trust each other in the sharing. One can cheat the other one. So they say, let us verbalize the sharing. One for you, one for me. Please repeat after me. One for you, one for me, one for you. Ah, they were sharing the mango. Meanwhile, they say, cathedral very close to the church, close to the cemetery. Very, very catchy that they used to conduct a lot of, you know, burial mass there before they finally bury people. One prayer warrior sister always pray 9 vigil there. So that night she was praying. And as she was praying, she was hearing from the cemetery, one for you. Won't you talk to me again? One for you. One for me. Prayer warrior say, Pastor must hear this. I am not the only one that will hear this. She ran to the personage. Say, Pastor, no long grammar. Follow me, follow me. The pastor put on his nightgown. He said, kneel down, we are kneeling down. The pastor knelt down from the cemetery. One for you. One for me. So as the boys finished sharing, one of them now remembered that when they were shaking the mango, two of the mango rolled towards the church. So that one said, ah, but the remaining two in the church. Pastor and prayer warrior took off. Pastor is not sure whether it's God or Satan that we collect him. As they are, one for you, one for me. Somebody say cemetery, say dark. See, this woman loved him so much that there was no fear any longer. That's called perfect love. Is anybody hearing me? I pray that you will have that kind of love for God in the name of Jesus. I cannot hear your amen, somebody. For time's sake, let me run. Love is not measured in position, titles, but in commitment, consistency, and sacrifice. If I'm to ask one question here, if you were to guess, who is the most spiritual person in House on the Rock, Enugu? If I'm to ask that question, most of you will fail the answer. You know why? Because most of you will look towards the pastorate and say, who is the most spiritual person in church? Most of you will look at the pastor and say, oh, it's Pastor Ed. Oh, no, it's not Pastor Ed, it's Pastor Ben. Oh, maybe it's Pastor Bidemi and so on. But listen to this, gentlemen. When it comes to the issue of God's measurement for spirituality, it has nothing to do with title, Nothing to do with position. Nothing to do with accolades. It has everything to do with commitment, consistency, and sacrifice. Everybody look up here. Jesus had repeatedly said over and over, on the third day after I die, I will do what? I will rise up. Peter was snoring. All the big boys with big titles, all of them. I hope you know, even after this incident, Peter still went and fishing. You remember? That is after this incident we're talking about now. It didn't stop Peter. Peter is the pastor. He's the one in charge. It was Sister Mary that came to wake him up. The master's body is no longer there. They've taken away the Lord. Are you still there, somebody? Now, read your Bible very well. Do you know that Peter now eventually came, and by the time he got there, he didn't see the body and all that. I'm coming to that later on. And the Bible said Peter and the other disciple that ran with him, which is John, because the Bible calls him the disciple that Jesus loved or loves Jesus, or loved Jesus love. Two of them were the ones that first came. Now, once they discovered the body wasn't there, two of them did what? They ran away. They went back home. They left Sister Mary in the sepulcher. And the Bible recorded. Everybody follow me. The Bible recorded. Now, you know, Mary is a very interesting fellow. She was the one that first peeped into the grave. There was no human being. Now, she had gone to call Pastor Peter, followed by assistant Pastor John. Two of them came, confirmed there's nobody. Two of them abandoned her in the darkness of the cemetery. The Bible said Mary began to weep. Put the scriptures for me, whoever is there. Mary began to weep. And after, God knows how long she wept. But after crying and crying and crying, something said to her, look inside that same place. Remember, commitment, consistency, and sacrifice. She stooped into the same place that she had seen before, and there was nothing. The Bible recorded to us, she saw two men. She saw one on this side, one on the other side where Jesus had lain. Now, you looked at this place a few minutes ago, there was nobody. Now you saw two guys. If it's you and me, let us be honest, would you faint? You just pass out, am I correct? And they ask her, woman, why weepest thou? You know what? Jesus, they ask her, woman, why weepest thou? And she said to them, they have taken away my Lord. And I don't know where they have led him. While she was still talking with them, she sensed there was a third person. And she turned immediately. Saw this other guy and thought he was the gardener. Mary, you saw two. Where you didn't see anybody before, fear not catch you. Now you have turned back. You have seen three. Three men and you alone inside cemetery. Which other ghost are you looking for? Are you in church tonight, somebody? Commitment, consistency, and sacrifice. You have seen a third guy. Fear nothing will catch you. She turned to that one. And that one still asked her the same question. Woman, why weepest thou? Then he now added the other one. He now added another one and said, but who exactly are you looking for? The Bible says she, supposing him to be the gardener, warned him and said, listen, if you are the one that took him away, if you are the one that took him away, I didn't come here for any trouble. Just tell me where you took him to so I can carry him, because you look like the gardener. Is anybody in church tonight? Come on, is anybody? See, there's only one question we're addressing tonight. What seekest thou? What are you looking for? What are you looking for? When you come to church, when you say, I want to serve God, who exactly are you looking for? I will get into that in a few minutes. My time is running so fast. Now, are you still there, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there, somebody? All right, so let me quickly do this. Number four, for time's sake, because I have about 5 minutes to go. How far you are willing to go with God is how far God is willing to go with you. How far you are willing to go with God is how far God is willing to go with you. Woman, why weepest thou? What seekest thou? Gentlemen, are you aware that the size of the vessel you give God is the quantity of the oil it will pour in that vessel? So when that woman whose sons were to be taken as bondwomen, when she began to pour the oil kept flowing. The Bible said the moment she said there was no more vessel, the oil stopped flowing. Am I correct? Please answer me, am I correct? How far you are willing to go with God? That's why James says, draw nigh to God. James chapter 4 verse 3. He says, draw nigh to God. And what will happen? God will draw nigh to you. He said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hands, you backsliders. Listen to this. How far are you willing to go with God? So, here was Elisha who came to Elijah and said, I need double portion of your anointing. And Elijah said, are you serious? You want double portion? You're asking for a half thing. Well, let's see how far you're willing to go. How far you are willing to go with me will determine what you get at the end of the day. So, guess what? They began from Gilgal. Then they got to Bethel. Then they got to Jericho. And finally, they got... See, the sons of the prophets who are professional pastors were over there watching from the Bible school. And this guy has said to him, the only man that will take this double portion is the man that will see me going. And see, if you know where Elisha is, gentlemen, Elisha, the Bible says, he had what the Bible calls, he was a farmer, okay? And the Bible says he had about, is it 4 yokes of oxen? Elisha was a farmer who had tractors, who was wealthy, who had money. And suddenly on this day, Elijah cast mantle on him and he began to follow him. And the job description of Elisha is interesting. The Bible says the man will pour water in the hand of Elijah. So if his children go to school and they're saying, everybody stand up, tell us your father's profession. When he gets to his turn, what does your father do? He works with Elijah. What does he do with Elijah? He pour water in his hand. Everybody will look at each other and said, I thought your father used to be a rich farmer before. He said, yes, but he resigned. In the last 3 years, he has been pouring water in the hand of Elijah. Are you still there, somebody? This guy was willing to go any length to collect what Elijah had. And guess what? Because the principle of God is how far you're willing to go. It's how far we go with you. Is anybody hearing me? Talk to me. Is anybody hearing me? Time will fail me to talk to you about Israel. Second Chronicles chapter 15 verse 2, I think, where it says, the Lord is with you while you be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, God will also forsake you. Ladies and gentlemen, how far was Mary Magdalene willing to go? Everybody look up here. When Peter and the other disciple, which is John, when Mary Magdalene first informed them, they've taken away the Lord. We don't know where they kept him. The Bible said that other disciples overtook Peter. Everybody follow me now. That other disciple overtook Peter. And he got there before Peter. He's a smarter and younger person. When he got there, the Bible said he peeped and he saw a linen cloth. That linen cloth was what was tied around the body of Jesus when he was buried. Peter finally got there. But the Bible recorded, the Bible says, please put that verse for me. The Bible says he did not enter. Please note that. How far you are willing to go with him is how far God is willing to go with you. That disciple did not enter. Peter now arrived. Peter peeped into the same place. Guess what? Instead of saying one thing, he saw two. Number one, he saw the linen cloth, but he also saw the napkin that was wrapped around the head of Jesus when he was buried. Now, please notice. If Brother John were to start a ministry, there's only one revelation he has. The revelation of the linen cloth. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, the mystery of the linen cloth. The linen cloth is worn by the rich. The linen cloth is something that they use during the wedding ceremony. The linen cloth is this. It's a symbol of cleanness and righteousness and so on and so forth. The ministry of the linen cloth. And then if Peter was to start his own church, Peter said, people are talking, you are talking. You saw linen cloth. Keep quiet. Linen cloth is only worn by the body. The napkin is in the head. We're dealing with this mystery of headship. Oh, Jesus. Are you still there, somebody? So if he was to start a ministry, Headship International Ministries Intercontinental. Come on, talk to me, somebody. And Peter will give you the revelation of the headship. The anointing flows from the head. As the oil upon the head of Aaron flows into his bed, that's how the headship is. And he will give you everything about that. Peter saw napkin and linen, was satisfied. John saw linen, was satisfied. Two of them went back home. Mary Magdalene said, that's not what I came here for. I thank God for you people's revelation. I thank God for you people's anointing. I'm not here for anointing or revelation. I just came to look for him. And I'm not coming to look for him because I'm expecting him to wake up and do me good. I just came to, I don't want him to smell. I am here to just anoint him. So you guys can go back home, and they all left back home. Abandoned Sister Mary in the cemetery. And she broke down and she began to cry. Lord, this is not what you said. This is not the promise. He wasn't supposed to disappear like this. This is the man that I love so much. I mean, yes, he's dead, we agree. But at least give us the honor of his body. Let's be able to anoint this body all the time. And we continue to come here and make sure it does not smell. What if I have broken an alabaster before, 1 year's salary? I can do this one. I can come here all the time and keep anointing this body. She wept. God knows for how long. Listen, she wept so much that God could not hold back. And my Bible recorded to me. Everybody listen to this. My Bible recorded that she looked, she now stooped down, and stooping is a position of intercession. She stooped, and in the same place where they saw linen and saw napkin, she saw two angels. How far you are willing to go with God is how far God is willing to go with you. She saw two angels. She's not scared. She's not intimidated by these people she saw in the same place where she saw nobody. She's still talking with them. A third person shows up. Fear not catch him. She turned to him and warned that one. If you are the one who took him, because you look like the gardener, arrange him back now. The only thing I want from you, just bring him back for me. Let me anoint him so we can keep him where he was before. And Jesus could not hold back. He shouted, Mary. And once she had that voice, she knew only one person has that voice in the whole universe. She screamed, Rabboni, meaning master. Are you still there, somebody? Please, are you still there, somebody? Let me take the last one. For time's sake. Number five. I said eventually, your motive will determine your results. Eventually, your motive will determine your results. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody say motive. I can hear you say motive. For the last time, say motive. Proverbs 16 verse 2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. NIV. Proverbs 16, 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his sight. NIV. The Lord weighs the what? The Lord weighs the what? The King James says spirits. It's actually the word motives. Word motives. The motives are weighed by the Lord. Everybody say motive. For the last time, say motive. Proverbs 21, 2. Okay, sorry. 1 Corinthians 16, 14. It says, let all that you do be done in love. Let everything you do be done in love. 1 Corinthians 4, 5. 1 Corinthians 4, 5. It says, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time. This is all NIV. Wait until the Lord comes, who is going to both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and is going to disclose the what? The motives of men's hearts. At that time, each of us will receive his praise from God. Everybody say motive. My God, say motive. Gentlemen, motive is a very powerful thing. Motive is the reason behind doing a thing. And all through scripture, we saw how motives sabotage a lot of people. Cain and Abel were to offer sacrifices before God. Are you still there? Please talk to me. Are you still there? One of them, the Bible said, called Abel, came and offered the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. The best animal he had, he offered it to God. Joyfully and gladly. The brother looked at him and said, is it only you? And the Bible says he went and took one cocoyam. The Bible didn't tell us cocoyam, but it's something like that he took. So to say, you are not the only one that will offer sacrifice. And he took just anything, just so that the same commendation and handshake that God gave to Abel, he too will get it. And when God saw the motive was not to worship me, it was in jealousy and competition with your brother. The Bible says God did not respect his sacrifice. You know the result of it. The first people that were born in the Bible, one of them became a murderer. Are you still there? Are you aware that what Ananias and Sapphira did back in the New Testament church was pretty much what Abel and what Cain did? Everybody was bringing stuff. It was a day like on Sunday in this church. It was a day of sacrifice. I think it was during the Passover or something. Maybe it was even an Easter Sunday. People were bringing lands. People were donating stuff. People were contributing stuff. And guess what? The Bible said Ananias and Sapphira, they came and you know the way they do it in Anglican church. You will hold the microphone and say how much you are donating. You know how they do it in Anglican church. Everybody must announce how much you are donating. So Ananias and Sapphira held meeting together. Say, you know what? We'll sell that all land, no problem. Come, let's go and announce it. We're not the one that will be left out. They stood on the queue. Was their turn, they took the microphone. So we announced, we have a land. It's exactly 10 billion naira by the grace of God. We're going to, hey, everybody clap for them. Choir beat drum for them. They finally went back home. They're supposed to redeem the pledge next Sunday. They sold the land. 10 million on the table. They say, that's how we carry all these 10 million. I say, we are doing church. I go and drop for church. Heaven help those who help themselves. So, wisdom. You must apply wisdom in following these church people. Otherwise, it's not everything that they say that you do. We have already announced. They've already clapped for us. Divide the money to two. Go and drop it. Offering is offering. After all, is our land. And the Bible says, they actually came to make that announcement, not because they wanted to give any sacrifice, but because they also wanted the praise and the clap of the people in church. It's called motive. Everybody say motive. I can't hear you say motive. Why did God frustrate the Tower of Babel, one of the greatest architectural projects of all time? The Bible said they wanted to make a name for who? Themselves. So every time as a child of God, you want to do stuff, please check your motive all over again. Is it for the glory of God? That's why the title of this sermon is, who are you really seeking? And when we see you crying and busy in church and doing, what? Why are you crying? What's the real motive? When you join ushering department, what was the motive? It will shock you to know there's somebody who joined ushering department and want to be seen. I said the only way that people will marry you is the way they see you. If they don't see you, they will not marry you. So, go join ushering. You know. From there, anybody who is entering church will be seeing me. Now, I'm not saying that this our ushers are different. Too. These are ushers are holy, anointed, and their motives are pure. I know all of them. They are my children. But I'm talking about another church. You know that church I'm talking about. Are you still there, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there? My God, are you still there? Simon the sorcerer saw Peter performing miracles. And the Bible says, and he brought money out and gave him so he can buy that same anointing from him. And Peter looked at him and said, your money perish with you, thou wicked, useless man. You think you can buy the gift of God with money? Somebody say motive. So sometimes when you want to sow seed, check your motive. Is anybody hearing me? The wrong motive will bring a curse on you instead of a blessing on you. Are you still there, somebody? But one of the worst motives ever recorded in the Bible is a gentleman by the name of Diotrephes. Most of you have never read about him before, but it's in the Bible. Third John 1:9. Diotrephes, MSG, Message Translation. Give it to me. Here was a gentleman. Please, I want to read this because it's important to me. Somebody say motive. I'm wrapping up now. Say motive. Diotrephes, Third John 1:9, MSG. Everybody look up here. Earlier, I wrote something along the lines to the church. But Diotrephes, who loved to be in charge. This guy's not the pastor, but he always likes to be in charge. Diotrephes, who loves to be in charge, he denigrated my counsel. As a pastor, I gave instruction. The guy goes behind me and counters my instruction because he likes to be in charge. He likes people to think that he's the one in charge. This is a brand church that Peter pointed. Can you give my scripture back, please? I beg you. Now the Bible says, can't even see it any longer. Okay,
Let me continue from my own. You can do anything you want to do. Praise God. If I come, please follow me. If I come, you can be sure I will hold him to account for spreading vicious rumors about us. This guy is saying bad things about the pastor and about the assistant pastors. He's spreading rumors, terrible rumors about them in the church. Is that okay? Answer me, is that okay?
Yes,
now, please go on. He says, as if that were not enough, not bad enough, he not only refuses hospitality to traveling Christians, so they want to give offering to some of these Christians who came to the church as missionaries. He doesn't give them, but the Bible says he refuses those. He tries to stop others from welcoming them. Have you seen people before? They will never give in church. But that's not the problem. The problem is that they must never see you giving. Because if they do, they will fight you. There are people who come into church and actually carry curses and go out with their lives. The Bible recorded to us, worse yet, instead of inviting them, it throws them out. It doesn't help these people that others want to give. It doesn't give them. It stops those who want to give them and it drives them out. But what was the sponsor of the attitude of Diotrephes? I want to be in charge. Forget about what the pastor said. He denigrates our counsel. And the only problem is that he just likes the people in that department to think he's in charge. He's the final voice here. He's the last authority here. Motives can be good. Motives can be bad. But a bad motive is a terrible thing. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor, why are you talking like this about Mary Magdalene and so on and so forth? Now, everybody listen attentively. When Jesus, and notice that last point I made, I said that your motive eventually will determine your results. Everybody say results. I can't hear you say results. For the last time, say results. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter was satisfied with the napkin and the linen. John was satisfied with the napkin. Oh, sorry, the linen. But this woman refused to be. And like I said, she was not there for any blessing. She was just there because she was committed to. So when Jesus, you remember, the two gardeners or the two angels she first saw asked her the same question, why weepest thou? Jesus repeated the same question, why weepest thou? But Jesus knew there was a more important question and he asked her, whom seekest thou? Who are you looking for? Now, gentlemen, what was the result of Mary Magdalene? Because I said your motive will ultimately reveal your results. Number one, and please everybody listen attentively to this. Number one, what was the result? Peter, John went back home to continue snoring. True or false? Answer me, true or false? Answer me, true or false? But what happened to Mary? Number one, everybody listen to this. Are you aware? Jesus that showed up in that cemetery, in that sepulchre, was actually holding the blood of the new covenant, which he was taking to the mercy seat of heaven. Jesus had no business being in that place. Matter of fact, when she wanted to hug him, he said, don't touch me. I'm actually on my way to my father. My journey was interrupted by you. Your commitment and consistency and love, even God could not hold back. So I am stopping here. It's out of schedule. But I had to honor your love and your commitment. This woman broke protocol in heaven and ushered a savior carrying blood to the mercy seat and ushered him back to the place of his grave to say, Madam, he said, how did Jesus put it? He said, I return back to my father and your father, to my God and your God. He said, my journey was not supposed to be like this, but we couldn't resist the kind of love and devotion that you have. That's why I came here. So number one, she broke the protocol of heaven. Number two, ladies and gentlemen, she was the first person to see the risen Savior. First person to see the risen Savior. And I hope you know in Israel, it's a taboo for a woman to be a witness. Number three, she was the first believer after Jesus, to call God Father. Jesus, I hope you know one of the reasons they killed Jesus was he called God Father. Now, Jesus looked at Mary Magdalene and said, I am now going to my father and your father, to my God
and your God. Jesus personalized the Father for the first time after his resurrection. First person was Mary Magdalene. Are you still there? Please answer me, are you still there? The Bible said she was the first apostle. Why? After the resurrection. Why? Because Jesus now said to her, go tell them that you have seen me. She was the first sent one immediately after the resurrection. The first apostle that was sent after the resurrection was not a man, it was a woman. Are you there, somebody? Please answer me, are you there, somebody? And guess what? What is more than all of this? The Bible said, Jesus recorded concerning her, everywhere this gospel is preached, what this woman has done will be a testimony. You will not be able to talk of the resurrection of Jesus without giving an account of this woman. Mary Magdalene, I hope you are aware, Mary Magdalene came at the tail end of the ministry of Jesus. She shows up on the Last Supper, man of God, true or false. She shows up just when it was almost over. But in showing up, she wrote her name indelibly with gold in the sands of time. She wrote her name and insisted her name must enter the story of Jesus. She began with the alabaster. She moved from the alabaster and showed commitment, consistency, and sacrifice in his love for him. Let me talk about consistency as I close. Gentlemen, can I say this to you? If you can do a 30 minutes prayer every day, you guess what? You will have a better Christian life than 1 6-hour prayer once in a month. It's called consistency. Even a 10 minutes prayer, but you are consistent. Every 5 a.m. I am up. I'm praying for 1 hour. I'm praying for 30 minutes. But I do it every day without fail. When I feel like praying, I don't feel like praying. When I want to pray, I don't want to pray. But I keep doing it. You'll be more anointed. You'll be more powerful. You will feel God and enjoy God's presence more than a man who prays 2 hours once in a week. The rule is consistency. Doing something little, but doing it. Ask any champion. The secret, greatest secret of every champion is consistency. Consistency in practice. Consistency in rehearsing. Consistency in doing that thing. The moment you take away consistency, guess what happened? And this is what happened to Peter and the rest of them. They saw and they returned back and say, whatever will be, will be. But this woman maintained the same tempo of passion until Jesus had no choice but to show himself to her. Ladies and gentlemen, I came tonight to say to somebody, whom seekest thou? What's really your biggest drive in church? A husband? A wife? None of them. Nothing is wrong with those things. So, I want to be successful in my business. There's nothing wrong. I want breakthrough for my business and my family. There's nothing wrong. But can I say this to you? All those things you are looking for, Bible calls them addition. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It says, all these things you are talking about will be added to you. The bad news is that most Christians sitting here under the sound of my voice, they have no sense of, there's no sense of devotion and commitment. For many people, it's like, let's be going to church. House on the Rock is our church. It's our place of fellowship and so on. But there's not that drive and that desire to build intimacy and to build consistency in your walk with God. And can I say this to you? The greatest secret that will change your life forever and put you on the map of the world is this one thing. Love for him. Commitment to him. Consistency with him. That's how did the Bible put it? It said, he that loveth his life will lose it. He said, but he that hated his life for my sake, he will find it. Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. And I'm a koshibe de lekotia.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Pastor Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log on to www.hotrenugump3.com. That is www.hotrenugump3.com to download. Truly, the word works.